Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the final Android Central podcast of 2011. It's episode number 82 for Thursday, December 29th, 2011. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this final Android Central podcast of 2011. And with me on this final Android Central podcast of 2011, we have Jerry Heldenbrand from the site.
Howdy, everyone.
And we have Corey Streeter from the Android Central forums.
Hey, everybody.
And live in the middle of the night in England, we have Alex Doby.
Good evening, good morning, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Do you guys say Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas? Because I told you Happy Christmas. I thought that's how you guys say
Yeah, we say both. I'm not gonna get offended if you say Happy instead of Merry.
Okay, well, I was trying to be cool and British. Was I British but not cool? Or was I cool and not British?
I don't know, I'm confused now.
Maybe not British and not cool.
And neither British nor cool we have. No, I'm kidding. We have Mickey Papillon. You know him from thecellphonejunkie.com.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody.
Mickey, you just celebrated your 100th episode of The Cell Phone Junkie Unlocked, I saw.
We did indeed. It was a marathon two-hour show, and I know we're going to talk a lot about the same type of stuff we're going to talk about tonight on this show, but it was all about the 2011 in review. We talked about what our predictions were going to be and talked about what we predicted for next year. And I'll just give you a hint. It had nothing to do with flying cars, but we had some other interesting things to talk about. Yes, we are at 100 shows with that one. It's pretty exciting.
It's awesome. I still remember your 100th show of the Cell Phone Junkie.
That one's coming up on 300, which is amazing. Yeah, that one's been going on for 5.5 years now. It's pretty crazy.
And we'll hit, 100 on this one by March, I would assume, which is pretty cool, too. So let's just dive into it. I didn't even do show notes for this one. We've been gone for 2 weeks, and I'm still kind of in holiday mode. You know, we kind of slowed the site down a little bit this week. We're not doing our usual 5 million posts a day. But we've been doing a lot of fun stuff, and a lot of stuff we wouldn't otherwise do, and a lot of stuff we're not going to continue the rest of the year, though we have some really cool stuff lined up for the first of the year, and that we're going to try to do as long as we can keep doing it, I think. It's going to be pretty awesome. Two of the things I want to talk about tonight that we have been running this week. We did the 2011 Android Central Awards. We did Reader's Choice Awards and Editor's Awards. And a little bit of controversy on these. let's start with the Editor's Awards, because that's the one that kind of freaked people out a little bit. And I guess Jerry and I need to take responsibility for these, and probably more so me than Jerry. I have no problem taking the heat on this stuff, because that's what we paid for. You just want to run through them real quick? Let's run through them in reverse chronological order, or alphabetical. Podcatcher of the Year, all right, Dogcatcher, Google Listen, fine. Hacking App of the Year, Super User, Root Explorer. Jerry, why you did those. Why Super User?
Because if you're going to root your phone, you better have it. No ifs, ands, or buts. You need to know what's doing what on your phone, and it tells you.
Well, in 99.9% of the time, if you root your phone, you end up having Super User.
That's right. It's on there, you know, unless it's a extreme oddity. And if it's not, you need to get it on there.
Very, very quickly, what does it do?
It lets you know when an application is trying to perform a function as root and gives you a way to approve or deny.
Which is very important, actually. So it's not that your phone is just completely, totally wide open.
Right. But
cool. I like that. Tablet App of the Year, IMDb, just because it's badass, I think. Really useful.
Well, yeah, when we discussed that, I mean, we both agreed. Just the layout, it designed from the ground up for a tablet. They did a wonderful job.
The way it should be. Google Currents was the runner-up, and I don't disagree with that. And I think Currents is going to get even better in 2012. It's still pretty new. Mm-hmm. Twitter App of the Year, Twitter for Android. Plume was the runner-up. You can still go all over the map with these.
Right.
I think we said we've been doing the apps I use posts, and I wrote a little bit about how I used to use Seismic all year and have very recently stopped just because little things within the API aren't really working right. So all right. And I spent the better part of a week just using a whole bunch of Twitter apps, and I still haven't found one that I like perfectly. I'm using TweetDeck, which is Paul O'Brien's tweaked version of TweetDeck, and he'll be the first one to tell you that TweetDeck is kind of becoming abandonware too, just like Seismic. Seismic hasn't been touched since the summer. And if you remember way back in May, we got a little preview of the tablet app, which still has not come out, and it's ridiculous, and I'm getting ready to yell at somebody. because I used to love Seismic. I thought they did an awesome job. So I've been playing with that. Keyboard of the year. You know what? I mean, honestly, I could go back and forth on these. SwiftKey X and Swipe. Yep. SwiftKey is what I use most of the time. If I have a phone that honestly has Swipe on it, I'll probably just use it if it's already there because I'm lazy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Corey, you got any you disagree with that at all? Corey, are you drinking out of a champagne bottle?
I'm moving on up.
Or was that just an odd angle?
Anyway, I never could get used to it.
That was a champagne bottle. What, dude, New Year's Eve is two nights away.
Something like that. I can never get into Swipe. It's just not my thing. I guess I'm old school.
Yeah.
It's a great app. I know a lot of people like it. I think SwiftKey is great. Personally, I just kind of stuck with the Android keyboard, both in Gingerbread and on the Galaxy Nexus. So I don't know. I've tried every keyboard out there, especially at the beginning when the original Droid came out. I was out there trying every single keyboard on the market. And I don't know. I've just kind of settled on the Android keyboard, and I'm good with that.
It really is a personal thing, though, right? Mickey, right, I mean, you're kind of a sporadic Android user. When you pick up an Android phone, do you actually change the keyboard at all? Do you even get that far?
No, I don't actually. I use the stock. You know, I've tried Swipe. I like Corey, I can't get into it. And honestly, I've never found. I should probably try SwiftKey, honestly, but I've never found one that I really like all that much. And one of the things that Android, I think, has had going for it, you know, this is well before iOS had it, was the voice typing. I don't mm-hmm. remember what they call that, but you know, where it really does a very good job, and it's even better now on Ice Cream Sandwich. So and I do it a lot on iOS as well. I find less and less I'm actually using keyboards. I'm just talking into the phone a lot of times because it goes so much faster.
I still think iOS wins keyboards. I mean, just nothing is as fast. I mean, sorry. I think the ICS keyboard's getting closer to that. But I have to have the secondary functions. I have to be able to long press and get, you know, the at symbol. I use the at symbol in a lot of stuff, right? I use it in emails. I use it in tweets. I use it in passwords because it's a nice, easy one. So yeah, that's something for me personally I have to have. If you don't, cool. What about you, Alex? You got a favorite?
Yeah, I kind of use Swipe for a while. But my problem with Swipe is that at the start of it seems great. It seems like it's this really useful thing that's going to save you a load of time. But later on, it just seems like you're wasting even more of that time checking back over what you've written for these random typos that you get. So I'm kind of boring that I tend to just stick with a stock keyboard and a device that I use. But I think Swipe's probably the closest I've come to actually using a custom keyboard. So it was my daily driver.
Really? I mean, if somebody asks which one is best, I say you got to try them. They really are that personal thing. Business app of the year, Docs2Go, Google Docs. I would probably throw QuickOffice into the mix, too. I think it's really good. For me, it's almost, again, especially with tablets, whatever's on there, I'll just use. But, you know, if it's not on there, I'll probably go Google Docs. But I think Docs2Go is still probably the number one. And remember, folks, this isn't necessarily a list of the things I would use or the things Jerry would use. We kind of collaborated, and we'll talk about that more in a second. Social networking app of the year, Google+, or Facebook. I tell you, I mean, I've talked about it here. I'm loving Google+, the more I use it. It's not perfect. I think it's still got a little ways to go. But it's and maybe it's just because of where I work. I trust Google a little more to not be inherently evil, whereas Facebook I do. You guys see there's a Windows Facebook Messenger app that leaked out, and I know it's pretty naive for me to say, but it's like the last thing I want to do is install something from Facebook on my computer. Now I know that's naive because I've got Facebook on my phone and I've got it in the browser and all that, but gee, I mean, it's like the last thing I want is something living and breathing on my computer from Facebook. No, ain't gonna happen. So Google+, I think, just has more potential. Check-in of the year, Foursquare, Google+. I think Path, I'm giving Path a second shot. I think Path as a standalone service is kind of ridiculous. I don't need, it's if you don't know what Path is, it's kind of like Foursquare, it's kind of like Facebook. You have this controlled group of people who can follow your paths, or you can allow into your paths or whatever and see what's shared. But at the same time, it connects to the APIs of Foursquare and Twitter and Facebook and just some others, I forget. So you can share on those services as well. And as far as that goes, it's not bad, although I'm having a problem and I can't actually get it to connect to Twitter. I don't know why. So I'm giving it a second shot. And actually, I mean, as far as an app goes, it looks beautiful. It looks 1,000 times better than Foursquare. And I don't care about the gamification of Foursquare at all, in the least. But, you know, it's nice to be able to show off where you are. And especially, like, we're all going to CES. It's nice to be able to say, hey, I'm here. This is where I am. Here's where I'm going. Whatever. So I'm giving Path another shot. And I think, you know, in 2-3 months, Path might well be the one of choice. We'll see. Game of the year, we went with Sprinkle. Jerry, I think you brought that up, actually, didn't you?
Yep. It's just, it's another one of those things where you can tell they designed it with mobile in mind. Mm-hmm. You can play for 5 minutes and put it down and come back a week later, or you can sit for hours and play at it. Controls are really simple. You know, I thought Sprinkle was probably the best game of the year.
It was good. I liked it. Runner-up, Angry Birds. You can't escape Angry Birds ever.
Right.
I'm tired of Angry Birds. I'm done with it. I think my kids might be moving too. Most disappointing tablet or other device. I mean, does anybody, Alex, Corey, do you guys disagree? Google TV and or Logitech review?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have it in the UK, so I can't argue with that.
There you go. Now, actually, I was a little torn on this. And you could easily throw in something like the Kyocera Echo. What were some of the other just horrible ones? We've had a few bad ones.
But that LG phone on Verizon that nobody bought.
The HTC Merge, no. but when we were sitting down talking about it, I think we really had to look at devices that came out and that people are actually buying, right? I mean, people bought Google TV, not a lot, but I think more people bought Google TV than bought the Kyocera Echo, you know, put it that way. The Cha-Cha, yes, thank you. The HTC Cha-Cha or Status on AT&T. And I've still got one here. In fact, we need to give one away. Maybe I'll do that next week because it's been sitting here on my desk. And actually,
stop lying, Bill.
No, I tried it. I did. And there's a reason why we made Andrew Vaca review the thing. but Google TV has so much potential, and the device just, it's not there. It needs hardware. The UI still needs a lot of work. And I've been using Google TV now that I finally got it hooked up right, and that it got the Android 3.0 update. But, not good. Not good. Needs help.
And this is a good example. We didn't let our emotions control this because this is not what Jerry loves, his Logitech review, and hates seeing it there as the most disappointing device, but realistically it is.
Yeah. It's got potential. Most disappointing smartphone of the year. I tell you, this was a toss-up between a few as well. But the Thunderbolt, I think, hands down, for a number of reasons. But mainly, it just turned into a pile of crap. And I know, and I say that loving HTC, I really do. But I've said it before where I think Verizon really went to everybody and said, give us an LTE phone. You don't want to miss out. You need to be on board with this. Give us a phone. And they kind of got half-assed a little bit. Jerry, you really pushed for the G2X.
Anybody that has one and bought it when they were new, you probably agree. Mm-hmm. It's a great phone. There was a few that had some screen issues. It's well built, great hardware, but the software was just so bad, and it took them so long to fix it that by the time they got it fixed, it was no longer relevant.
And can you imagine if they'd been on the ball and if today the G2X actually had ice cream sandwich?
Oh, Alex, I always think, what if the G2X had been the Nexus S?
Yep.
Yeah,
sure. That would have been an amazing phone. LG, Google, if you're listening.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't in any way, shape, or form because of the hardware, right? I mean, the hardware was awesome. And it was the first dual-core phone, and, I mean, look how far we've come since then. It's a year old now.
And I always like to joke about it. It's built so tough, I actually drove tent stakes with it.
Oh, did
just
you?
To see if it would hurt it.
Jesus. Yeah. Why didn't we have that on video?
Because I was afraid it would break it. I was certain that this is going to break it, but I did it anyway.
All right. I ran out of ways to describe this. Maybe I'll call it the small form tablet of the year. The sub 10-inch or e-reader. Basically anything that's not a big 10-inch tablet, right? The winner, Amazon Kindle Fire. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be.
Runner-up, we did the Nook Color. Why did we do the Nook Color and not the tablet?
Well, the tablet's still a little new. I mean, when we discussed this, the jury was still out a little bit on it. But everybody with a Nook Color seems to love it, and I love mine, so I couldn't disagree there.
You almost, I don't know, you almost have to put those in the, like, almost the exact same thing, right? I mean, I think as far as the color goes, the tablet is that much better and for a little more money. And I'm always of the mind that I'm willing to spend a little more money to get a little bit better, but that's me. So I don't know. I could go either one on that, I think. I would, if somebody says, no, the Nook tablet needs to be there, I would not disagree. I would just say the Barnes & Noble Nook, I don't know how to spell that, though. Well,
there's a lot of smaller ones that are really nice. And, it, you know, it was another hard I would have loved to seen the Flyer on there or the Galaxy Tab 7. Mm-hmm. They're both great little devices, but they're not real popular. And
they're more expensive.
You know, a lot of people, yeah.
I tell you.
It was strange you mentioned the Flyer.
Really?
In the, I used a Flyer again because I reviewed it like 6 months ago, and I used it again for the first time a few days ago. And it's amazing how far things have come just in terms of responsiveness and usability. Mm-hmm. And the Flyer demo unit that I used was nowhere near as responsive as my Galaxy Nexus.
And that
it's just a world apart from that.
I tell you, for everybody listening at home and listening live right now, that's a pitfall of what we do, because a lot of these devices we get, you know, we don't buy them all. We buy some. But, you know, it's just not realistic to buy every device that comes out when you're covering every carrier and you're covering internationally like Alex does. So we see a lot of these when they first come out, and they haven't necessarily gotten every software update, and especially in the case of the Flyer, right? So some of these devices can change drastically in 6 months, I think, and opinions can change drastically, and they should, and that's a good thing. So, you know, we're kind of coming at this from a slightly larger view and not necessarily quite as in-depth as we'd like. 10-inch tablet, Galaxy Tab 10.1. Yes. Yes.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Runner-up, the Iconia A500. I don't think I'll disagree with that. However, and I cheated. I put a but what about the Asus Transformer Prime? And even
but
the original
exactly what you put there is why I didn't put the Prime as number two.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Prime is an awesome tablet. And absolutely, if you have the money, get it. Check it out. But as of right now, it still in fact, we're hearing today, I started getting emails that people are finally starting to see it really start shipping, so that's good.
But, yeah, I mean, I almost cried when I had to send it back. It's the nicest tablet I can picture using.
But if you have if you can't get it, then what good is it? I still have a problem, and I've got the Zyboard sitting here, and I still need to finish the review. But I'm still kind of like, all right, it's another Android tablet. What's new? And even what's Ice Cream Sandwich going to bring to me? That it's going to bring a bunch of little things. Is it going to up the experience enough to justify $500 and $600 for this tablet? I don't know. I'm going to have a long, hard look at that. So we'll see. But, I mean, otherwise, these tablets, I mean, they're nice. They're not bad tablets by any stretch of the imagination. But they're not necessarily bringing anything new to the game. It's like, all right, here's another one. Cool.
Did you guys even consider the Zoom?
The what?
The Zoom.
The what?
The Zoom's a weird one, Corey.
It is.
Myself, some days I'll grab my Galaxy Tab and say, man, I wish I had kept the Zoom instead. But then again, when I'm throwing it in the backseat of the car to read while the wife's grocery shopping or something, and that tab is nice and light, I'm like, well, I'm glad I got this tab. The Zoom is – the people that kept it love it for a particular reason, and it's great for them. But for most of the consumers out there, it just didn't do it.
I tell you what I liked about the Zoom. It had that awesome speaker dock. And I had that before I sent it to Blaze. I had that in my kitchen. So now I've got the big speaker in the kitchen instead. It had some good accessories. But, yeah, the thing was just a beast. It was big and thick. And when I want a tablet, I want svelte. I want it thin and light. It has to be. It's big. I was using the Kindle Fire again today because I hadn't used it in a little while. And, you know, it's fine for reading, but I don't want to really do much else on it. I don't know. And finally, smartphone of the year. So
wow,
Drama!
Look, man, we had to pick one, right? And that's not easy, and I understand that.
And guys and gals, mm-hmm. you know how much I hate manufacturer skins, and I'm the first one to preach, get the Nexus. But Phil convinced me that the Droid Razor was the best pick.
And we've got a couple
reasons. Phil's going to say, I'll take most of the responsibility, but I had to agree with him when we were talking. You know, listen to what Phil's going to say before you want to hate us all.
Yeah, and Jerry and I went back and forth, and we were yelling at each other a little bit. We should have recorded it, actually. It would have been a really good podcast. I love the Galaxy Nexus. For me, this is my phone of the year. Absolutely. It is. I like the Droid Razor a lot. I like the Galaxy S2 a lot. I had a hard time not putting like a third, you know, thing for the Galaxy mm-hmm. S2 here. And maybe we should have. We did it for the tablets. And if you have a Galaxy S2, do not feel bad about it. Do not look at this list and be like, oh, these guys are idiots. Your phone is awesome too. We had to pick one.
Right.
And you know what? I still have big reservations about the battery on the Droid Razor.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I have to step out of my own shoes for a minute. I have to envision people who don't, you know, travel nearly as much, who don't go to these weird-ass shows, who don't, you know, necessarily have to be on the bleeding edge and have all this beta stuff. And I think BlackmanX has done a really good job recently on Twitter, you know, reminding people that Nexus does kind of mean beta at the same time. Not necessarily in the traditional sense, but you're on the bleeding edge and you're going to get stuff first, and it's not necessarily going to be 100%. Is, I don't want to say finished, because I love Ice Cream Sandwich. I think it looks and mm-hmm. it works great. But for a traditional user, you know, I don't want to say we are the 1%, because that's kind of cliche now. But as far as smartphone users go, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, chances are a good number of you are just nerds and hackers and love getting into all this stuff. You're not the traditional user. You're not my mother. Oh my God, I picked up my mom's Epic 4G yesterday. And I was like, you haven't done anything to the home screens. There are like three things on it. What do you do with this phone? Android is a feature phone now. I'm sorry, it is. For most people who buy Android phones, they are the new feature phones. That's good. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You're getting a really good feature phone. But it is the new commodity. So when you look at this, you need to look at, all right, how easy is it to use as the full phone, right? How easy is it to use, whether it's Filbler. I love calling it Filbler, by the way. It's awesome. Whether it's TouchWiz, whether it's Sense, and look at the whole package. Which one of these does things really well? I'm really, really impressed by what Motorola has done. They've taken a lot of the crap out of it, and we keep calling it Blur, and it's still a framework, but look at where it's come from the past, you know, from 2 years when it was this service that you had to log into, and then it would automatically port all your junk over. I mean, it was horrible. I did not want to use it. They have so many tweaks that have gone into the Droid Razor. I'm totally forgetting what to call them. The smart actions, right? The little things that basically take something like Tasker and they built it into the OS. That's awesome. There's some really, really good stuff in there. It's fast. It's one of the fastest phones I've used this year, even with all that other stuff on top of it. My biggest problem with the Razor is the battery. But again, for most people, it's probably not a deal breaker. You know, most people aren't charging through airports 60 days out of the year. And if you are, you probably need to look at a different phone. What else? I had another reason. I'm trying to remember why. Does that make sense to you guys?
You told me it's the size and the way it felt in your hand. Mm-hmm. You were really impressed.
It's thin, it's big, it's light. Yeah. I mean, what isn't, right? And I understand people say, well, you say that mm-hmm. about every phone. Every phone is. This is one of the thinnest. Oh, another feature, and this is a big, big deal for me now, I think. The camera on the Galaxy Nexus sucks. Let's put it out there. It's not good. If you're in good light and nothing's moving, it can look really good. If there's any motion, you're screwed. If the light's not ideal or at least decent, you're screwed. I think the Galaxy S2 phones and the Razr all have a better camera. And I understand Motorola really screwed up on the Droid Bionic. It was horrible. But, you know, the Razr was better. The Galaxy S2 phones, much, much better camera. I have no problem putting the Galaxy Nexus as runner-up. I think it's a very important phone in terms of Android, especially because it's ICS, and I think that makes up for a lot. But for the majority of the people, the majority of the, 700,000 phones that are being activated every day do not need a Nexus. period.
Mm-hmm.
They need something that can do the work for them. They don't need to, you know, have this bare bones phone. And that's what a Nexus is. A Nexus is bare bones. It's the equivalent of going to Newegg and buying a bare bones computer and doing it all yourself. That's not what the majority of people want. That's why people buy iPhones, right? They want Apple to take care of all that stuff for them. And Apple does a really good job of it. But, you know, you have more than one kind of Android user, you know, other than just the people listening to this podcast and reading our site. And I love you all. I do. But that's why we went with the Razr as the phone of the year.
All right, guys, I don't think I wrong. Disagree
tell
with
me
you.
I'm wrong.
I just want to throw that in there.
Here's my question. What about HTC and all this? Because you're saying in terms of ease of use for the average person, all these tweaks and blur. What about Sense on the Resound and the Sensation, phones like that?
So you got to take more than just the UI into consideration. I think I got to go with a Verizon phone over something like the Sensation just because T-Mo was in a really weird place this year. That's not to say they're in a, you know, a horrible place and the phones suck, because I like the Sensation a lot. One of my favorite phones of the year, actually. I think I probably liked it a little more than the Amaze, even if the camera wasn't quite as good. Man, I tell you, it's tough.
Well, see, especially Alex, you don't. Maybe it's hard for somebody from Europe to understand the whole Verizon in the United States kind of thing. Whatever Verizon pushes is what is going to become relevant here in the States. That's just the facts.
Well, in that case, what about the Resound?
I think maybe I just got tired of Sense by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And honestly, that might well be part of it. Maybe I'm just tired of Sense. I saw more movement from Motorola through Blur and through the UI, and I saw more improvement than I saw at HTC. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the newer Sense versions that I like a lot. You know, you guys have heard me just rave about that lock screen. Love it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe I just got tired of Sense. I don't know. Now, that said, you know, calling a Verizon phone the most awesome at this point, you know, for these reasons when I'm saying it's not just, you know, the UI and it's not just ICS or whatever. You know, calling a Verizon phone is kind of a difficult proposition right now with all the crap they're getting for LTE, and rightfully so. And now so with this $2 a month for paying your own damn bill thing, which, I
hope that saves them a lot of money, because it was a hell of a PR mess.
Oh, I got to take a deep breath on that. Well, you know what? We're all going to do it. You're either going to do auto pay or you're going to pay the $2, because you're going to be, it's only $2. I need to pay my bill. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to take a little heat, and they probably decide, all right, the heat is worth it because we're going to save all this money. So I'm not happy about it at all, but, you know, I understand that's what's going on. No, that's why we went the Razr over the Nexus. I still love the Galaxy S2. I think you have to take into consideration Samsung upgrades, which isn't entirely the fault of Samsung. I've been saying that for a long time, but it's something you have to take into consideration. I think Motorola has been more transparent in its updates and its upgrades. You know, they have that site where they have phones listed worldwide and said, here where we are in the process. Now, really soon, they need to start getting the ICS stuff up there. And, you know, they have it in the big strokes. You know, here's the Bionic, here's the Razr, the Zoom, and I forget the other devices. They're all getting ICS. But, you know, we're going to see them on that chart soon enough. So transparency, I think, means a lot. And that should go a long way for Motorola.
I do want to bring up something about the Galaxy Nexus.
Yes.
I don't know that I would say that it's just catered to people that want to hack.
No, it's not.
I think. Mm-hmm. I think the experience for me, of course, every new phone I get, I don't like it immediately, and then I have to play with it for a few days, and then I fall in love with it, and I never want to get another phone again.
That's a great way to use a phone, by the way.
The Galaxy Nexus with Ice Cream Sandwich, it's the first phone where I haven't had to go out and buy a bunch of, like, applications from the market to fill, like, a bunch of holes that the stock apps have in them. The email app is really cool. They have some awesome widgets on there. I actually think they did a really nice job with the browser and the messaging app. The phone dialer is great. There's a lot there that I think the average user would like a lot more than they would with Ginger Red or Froyo. I'm very happy with it. I think they did an outstanding job. The thing that I don't think they should have done is expose all those developer settings to the average user. So this phone is they're not selling this as a developer phone. Their commercials are not catered to developers. They're kind of, it's, if you've seen some of the commercials, they're very iPhone-ish. They're very Apple-ish in the way they market the phone. And so you're going to have a lot of people walking into stores that are just regular Joes are going to buy this phone. And to pick it up and go into the settings and find all these developer things you probably shouldn't be messing with, I would have hidden those and given, you know, if you're a developer and you want to play around with those settings, great, go to their website, get a code to do so, unlock it and do what you need to do. But I don't think that the general consumer should have been exposed to some of the things that are an ice cream sandwich.
Dude, I don't know what half those things are. I'm still waiting on Jared to do the post telling me what they are.
But I'm not sure what half of them are either. That's the problem. Yeah. Working on it.
No, and that's a very good argument. I think you're going to, you know, those will go away come the next crop of phones, you know, come the stuff that...
Well, those are there because it's the Nexus.
Right.
Not, you know, when you get ice cream sandwich on the Bionic or the Resound, that's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but they're not going to make money just selling phones to developers. So no, obviously they made a choice. They made a choice to make this a mass marketed consumer device. And so I think you can have the best of both worlds. You can, you know, hide some of those things and make them exposable to people that want them. And then also, you know, kind of mix in the feature set and the experience that a regular user would want as well. And I think they did a fantastic job with that. It is by far, I haven't played with the Razer, the Bionic or any of the recent Motorola phones or the Resound, but I can't believe how much progress they made. And the screen is gorgeous. The keyboard's great. There's a lot of little bugs that I hope they fix very quickly. But overall, I think it's a fantastic device.
It's my
of the year.
It's absolutely going to be up for argument and open to debate. And if you want to call us stupid for picking it, you can. But you're going to need to back up your choice as well. So, and I really do enjoy those sort of arguments because, you know, I mean, we can absolutely go five different directions on that. Mickey, do you have one? And you probably haven't had your hands on quite as many phones as we have this year. If you had one to pick, which way?
So, yeah, and I did want to jump in on this one because I'm kind of with Corey a little bit on it because I'm as someone who looks at Android phones on probably a very different level from you guys. Mm-hmm. I have gone through not one but both iterations of the Nexus here over the last month, and I think one of the biggest things about it is, it, like Corey says, there's a lot of it that requires no other software intervention because Ice Cream Sandwich is so good. And I think that's one of the biggest components of it. And that really makes it what it is for the general, you know, the smartphone buyer of late 2011 is it can take you to that level where you don't have to mess with it a lot. And I've had a number of people who have asked me recently, as I do get these questions all the time, what Android phone should I buy or what device should I buy? And I have a really hard time going and recommending anything other than a right now if they're on Verizon. I agree with you guys that the Droid Razr is a great option, but I think when it comes down to it, what's going to take them for what they're probably going to be using the phone for, which is the next 2 years, I'm hesitant that we're going to see the iterations built upon the Droid Razr like we're going to see with the Nexus. And that, I think, means a lot. And I'm still not convinced that we're going to see Ice Cream Sandwich in a real timely manner. I mean, as we're starting to see some of these guys leak out their timelines, it's almost laughable. I mean, April, May, really? You know, I mean, that just seems way too far off. And so I just had a buddy of mine, of course, picked up the Nexus yesterday, which he couldn't get Verizon to activate it because it had to do it over 4G. And so he didn't even get his phone till today. And so he was initially a little put off by that. I said, just hold on. You're really going to like this thing. You know, he came from the Droid Pro, which he loved. And he kept asking me, when's the Droid Pro 2 coming out? I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath. You know, go get a Nexus. Yes, it's big. Yes, it's going to take some time to get used to. But going through both the Verizon and the Unlock GSM one, I mentioned this in my review. I would absolutely take the Verizon one. I like the extra width a lot. I mean, to the point where I would buy that phone. But the unlocked one, I couldn't. It was too It was too big. It was not comfortable to hold. So what they did with the Verizon one was really nice. And it totally saved that phone for me from what the unlocked unbranded one was. And I don't know, this is a very personal thing, but that's just me and that's my opinion. So to answer your question, I think the Galaxy Nexus, and really it's because of the software and not the hardware.
Mm-hmm. I'll buy that. Let's dive into the Reader's Choice ones. Now, these are the ones that everybody out there voted on. And we
all got every one of them wrong.
Jeez.
I forget how many thousands of votes there were, but there were many thousands, and thank God for SurveyMonkey. Smartphone of the Year, the Galaxy Nexus, no surprise. That did not surprise me. That was voted number one. Galaxy S2, runner-up, absolutely, sure. Totally agree with that. Galaxy Tab 10.1 and the Transformer Prime, again, obvious, right? Makes sense. Kindle Fire and the Galaxy Tab 8.9. I'm surprised the Nook didn't win there. But the 8.9 is an awesome, awesome size, and if you haven't used it yet, I suggest you do. Most disappointing smartphone of the year, the Droid Bionic.
Can't argue with that. I'm sorry.
Certainly the strangest, and I think it has a stranger story than even the Merge does, right? So the Bionic, if you don't know the Bionic story, we saw this one, Corey was with me at the Motorola press conference at CES, you know, almost a year ago now. And they unveiled like five phones on us at one time. It was insane. And so Corey and I are there, and they didn't really let us play with it. They let us see it, and they showed us some stuff on it, but obviously it wasn't done. And then it disappeared for, you know, a couple months. We didn't hear a damn thing. And then finally it started resurfacing over the summer, and lo and behold, it's an entirely new device, right? So it was not the same Bionic that we saw at CES. So, I mean, it's funny when people would compare it to what we saw at CES. It's like, why? Because that one's dead. I'm really surprised we haven't seen any of those for sale anywhere, just like leak out on eBay. Probably just well they didn't. But so the damn
thing, all melted.
Man, I mean, it came out 8 months later. 8 months since it was announced, it was totally redone. And, you know, nobody really publicly said, you know what, we're going back to the drawing board. I mean, it was just, I've never seen a story so strange. And I lived with the Merge. Thunderbolt, I agree with. That's still my biggest disappointment of the year for a phone that should have been better than it was. Disappointing tablet, the Zoom. Then the review. Game of the year, Angry Birds, Cut the Rope. Check in, whatever, Foursquare, Facebook, social, Facebook, Google+.
Cut the Rope surprised me there.
It did a little bit. It's a good game. I thought it was a little too tough. My daughter, you know, Mia loved playing it, and she could do the basic levels. I could do the basic levels, but damn, it gets hard. Really hard. Travel app of the year, Google Maps, TripIt. Yes, I agree. I couldn't live without TripIt. TripIt. Business app
TripIt's
of the year,
great.
Quick Office, Google Docs. Yeah, keyboard, swipe, SwiftKey. Twitter, TweetDeck. Google Currents, Pulse. Yes, Pulse tablet app. One of the first really, really awesome tablet apps, too. I'm glad the readers remembered that, even if we forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Hacking app of the year, ROM Manager and Titanium Backup. I tell you, I hadn't used ROM Manager in a while because, as you all know, I went back stock for a number of reasons, mainly just work, right? Because I need to be able to keep up with the stock updates. So I hadn't used ROM Manager in a long time, and I fired it back up. Holy crap, I almost want to say they bloated it up. And I understand it's been done with a purpose, but you know, when you first fire up a ROM Manager now, it says, hey, if you want to be notified that your ROM has an update, you need to send us all your information. You have to sign in. And I say that knowing full well I run a website that asks for your information a number of times and for a number of reasons. But, I mean, it was just odd to see in ROM Manager, which was always bare bones and very much about just giving you the stuff and not giving you a hard time about it. And I understand why they're doing it, and it's an interesting way to go. So I'm not really knocking them for it, but it was just odd to see. So that was different for me. A lot of changes. Still a very, very useful app if you're flashing ROMs on a regular basis. And in fact, you know, my brother has a Nexus S4G, and he wanted to play with ICS, so he came over and we finally unlocked his bootloader and put all that stuff on there. And I'm showing him ROM Manager, and I was like, look, I should teach you about recovery. I should teach you why all this stuff. Jerry, close your ears. I should teach you why all this stuff works. Just use ROM Manager. It'll take you to it so quickly. It's just done. So it's still a very useful app. Podcatcher, Google Listen, Dogcatcher. I know a lot of people complain we didn't have a Beyond Pod anywhere, and I used to use Beyond Pod all the time. Very, very good app. So really whatever works for you. Poor Google Listen. I really think, I mean, Jerry, we've got to have a podcast app coming back, right? Because it's built into Google TV.
I would hope so. I mean, yeah, and the one on Google TV is really nice. So I hope that that's something we're going to see in the market soon, maybe Listen Plus improved version or something.
We'd better. I'm going to be really disappointed.
And you hear that, Google?
Google needs to list the best damn Android podcast in the world. Why are we not indexed? Why? I digress. So those are the AC Awards. Whether you agree with them, whether you don't agree with them, there they are. That's all I have to say about them. Good discussion, except for you guys suck. I mean, we had reasons for sucking.
Did you mention the Nexus was at the top of that list?
Yeah.
Oh.
The wrong Nexus.
What?
I'm just teasing Corey.
No.
Yeah, he likes to do that regularly.
Should the Verizon Galaxy Nexus should the Verizon Galaxy Nexus be split off from the
into what?
From the GSM one? Should we talk about it like it's separate?
You know, it's not really. It's a standard Nexus device that you can build right from AOSP.
But
even if people wanted to claim it wasn't, it is.
But
if you try to put the wrong software on it, you're going to brick it. So that's kind of scary. To me, they're two separate phones. To a lot of people, they're not going to be.
I'm concerned about Verizon still and holding up the 8-day price process.
Yeah, hold on to that thought because we've got a good voicemail on that in a little bit, and we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Anything else you guys want to talk about 2011? I mean, I was thinking back about it this year, and it helps when I go into TripIt and look at all the places I've gone and all the different trips, and it helps me remember them. All right, so we had CES, you know, then I went to Google to see the Honeycomb stuff, and going to Google was badass. I mean, how much fun was that? And seeing all the Honeycomb apps, which now kind of feel commonplace, but they still work and they're still good. I had Mobile World Congress right after that, literally the next week. Saw a lot of the same developers, a lot of nice new hardware. You know, don't forget the Desire 2 line and Desire S and Incredible S and all them. It's where we got the first Facebook phone in the cha-cha that kind of fizzled. Interesting idea, but you can't go back to a screen that small. And right about that same time, we had the Kyocera Echo, which, again, I'll applaud them briefly for trying something different, but hardware just wasn't there. It was an interesting idea that had too much going into it and too many APIs when you're developing for two screens like that. And it's just really, really tough with the pace of iteration. What else? Then we had CTIA and we also had 3D at Mobile World Congress, right? So 3D was supposed to take off. Thank God it hasn't. I mean, it was the last time we saw a 3D device released. I know the rumors and, oh my God, I'm so sick of these Galaxy S3 rumors at Mobile World Congress. Like, no shit, right? They're going to announce a phone at a mobile conference. That's genius. I think anyone who published that story should not be allowed to go. But seriously, if Samsung puts out its first 3D device in 2012, don't do it, Samsung. Do not do it. We don't need 3D smartphones. I'm sorry.
We don't want it.
I know a lot of people like them. I know a lot of people like them, but no. It's just, it can't be economical at this point. They can't have sold enough of them to make it worth it. Otherwise, we would.
So you reckon we're done? Completely done with 3D right now?
Oh, no. I'm willing to bet we'll see one or two more. Just to torture us. But no. Please don't. So 3D came and went. What else do we have at CTIA? CTIA in the spring was better than... CTIA, you know what? We didn't talk about the weird saga of the Galaxy Tab 10.1, because actually that had a weird one, right? We saw it for the first time at Mobile World Congress, and then it got revamped a month later. At CTIA in Orlando, they showed us an entirely different one. They didn't let us touch it yet, but it was an entirely different device. And then we went to New York and we saw it again. You know, we finally got the Galaxy S2 here. The Galaxy S2 was a huge phone and should be. And I pray that we get updates a little more timely in 2012 than we are now, or Samsung is going to have even more explaining to do. Kind of fizzled, not fizzled, but things slow down the back half of the year. I'm glad they do. What else do we have? We had more good stuff from Motorola, right? We got the Zyboards, which are singularly the worst name for a device in history, I think. It does not get much worse than that name. And in fact, it's bizarre watching the Verizon commercial. They're like, buy a Droid Razor and you get $50 or $100 off a Droid Zyboard. And I can just see people sitting in their living rooms like, what the hell is that? And just keep it away from me. Sounds like something I need to take pills to get rid of. Anything else? The Galaxy Note, I think, is a big one, and supposedly we're getting it here in the U.S. Supposedly they sold a million of them, or shipped a million of them by now.
But you know. I'm not convinced it's going to take off in a big way. It's just too big for most people, and it's going to be limiting itself to such a tiny niche that it's, maybe it'll be on some carrier or other. It's not going to be a big mass market phone ever.
Let's talk about 2012. I'm real curious.
One thing, Phil.
Yes.
We need to talk about all the devices that got activated over Christmas.
Yes. How many millions was it? Or hundreds of thousands?
Like 3.7 million, wasn't it?
Ooh.
And they clarified that doesn't include any Kindle Fires.
Right.
It doesn't include any Galaxy Players. It doesn't include any tablets from China that don't have 3G.
It's anything with Google Apps, right?
Right. So that's just a portion. There's probably, you can probably tack 20-25% on that number, which is huge.
That's a lot of stuff. You know, and remember, you're talking almost 1.5 million devices every day, or every 2 days being activated. It's incredible. And then Christmas, just, you know, in Christmas, everything goes up almost exponentially. Mm-hmm. I understand that. It's so many devices. I think I said on Facebook, you know, to tell all my friends and family, it's like, this is why we travel so much. This is why we work 16 hours a day. And we can't keep up. You know, we pick and choose the stories we write because there are that many of them to do. And you know what? I'll let everybody else write the same crap story about something that's kind of important. You know, I'm having a good time writing what we're writing and going off the beaten path a little bit because there's so much stuff out there. They're really, really, it's incredible. If I were Google, if you guys haven't read it yet, there's a really good piece. Who was it, Jerry? Was it Electronista this morning?
Ars Technica.
Ars Technica, thank you. I want to get that right. Who wrote down something that Jerry and I have been saying for a long, and I think we all have been saying for a long time, and that you have Android devices, and you have Sense devices, and you have Moto Blur devices. And they did a really good job. We'll put a link in the show notes for you guys listening at home. Did a really nice job explaining why, and I think did a better job explaining it than Jerry and I have, just because we haven't taken the time to do so. And we really have to stop thinking of all these devices as Android. They called them Android capable or Android compatible. And I
like that word.
Yeah. And
I really like that.
And Dan Morrell from Google said, this is exactly, not like, yes, that's awesome, but like, this is exactly what we had in mind when we created Android. It's exactly the way we went about it. And I've called it an embedded OS, and I really shouldn't call it that because that's kind of too nerdy and too inside baseball, but that's what it is. That's why they developed it, so that people can do whatever they want, so that Motorola can take it and do what it wants, and HTC can take it and do what it wants. So when people say, oh, give me the option to take Sense off, you will never see that. You will not see that. You'll see it in a Nexus device, you know, where you have the option to put something else on. You will never see a toggle switch that will let you just turn Sense off. There's absolutely no value in that for HTC or Motorola or Samsung. Where, I mean, that's like saying, hey, Phil, we want you to make a website, and we want you to work your ass off and have a team of writers to write whatever they want, but we're going to have a little switch up at the top that says, all right, if you don't like this website, flip the switch, and you can automatically see somebody else's stories here on this site. It makes no sense whatsoever, right? I mean, that's a little out there, I understand. But, yeah, attack. But, you know, same sort of thing, right? How could you get engineers at Samsung to bust their ass on TouchWiz or engineers at HTC to bust their ass on Sense when you're just going to give people an option to turn it off? Why would you want to go to work every day?
They shouldn't. There is nothing wrong with Sense, TouchWiz, Blur. A lot of people love it, and it makes Android better having it this way.
And I'll say it again. If you've ever been in a room with anyone from HTC, they believe in Sense. It is the company. It is what they manufacture, at least for Android. For Windows Phone, it's gone a different direction, and I'm sure that's been a bone of contention. But, I mean, just to hear them talk about it, it's in the soul of HTC. You know, TouchWiz, yeah, same sort of thing for, not, I hate to say not with the same sort of passion, but just not with the same sort of public feel that we get talking to people. You know, I really wish everybody could experience it. I think it would really change your opinion about it, even if you don't like it, right? And, you know, it's no secret, I prefer stock Android a little more, I think. But, you know, it really helps explain it a little better. I'm getting a little verklempt. Again, promised myself I wouldn't get a cry. So that's my thing. Mickey, where do you think we're going in 2012?
You know, honestly, I feel like 2011 was it was a really kind of an extension of 2010. I mean, Android's year was 2010. You know, make no mistake about it. That was when it really took off. And I think there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that happen in the next year that we probably were hoping would have happened late 2011. You know, whether it's, you know, the quad core or the, you know, the tablets that are actually starting to, you know, become what we were hoping Android tablets would be. You know, an ice cream sandwich is really going to, I think, drive a lot of that. And that's really good. The operating system is obviously the underlying, you know, part of everything. And let's see some good stuff that can build off of it. And, you know, as I don't want to say negative, but as down as I can be about everything else other than the Galaxy Nexus at this point, that's all going to change very quickly here. We've got, you know, 2 weeks here until CES, and well, actually, it's not even 2 weeks, is it? That's really scary. It's now like what, 8 days? you know, and once we get to that, we're going to start to see what's going to be coming out next year, and I think it's going to put a lot of us at ease for, okay, we're not just a one device, you know, show right now, and we'll see what actually is going to be coming out for that. We're all going to just go, oh yeah, the Nexus is nice, but oh, have you seen all these other devices now too?
3D? Do you think 3D is done?
Done. Dump it off a cliff, and you can take your mini discs with it.
Oh!
I was hoping we'd do the podcast in 3D.
Your beard would be awesome in 3D. I'm just saying. Alex, where do you think we're going? And maybe from a European perspective, I mean, you guys are. What's holding you back over there is probably data speeds, right? And pricing.
It is, and we have all this nonsense going on between the two main carriers over here as to when we're going to get an LTE, even get the frequencies auctioned off. Mm. So that's still well off in the future. We're talking years, not months. But I kind of got to agree with Mickey. I think we're looking at tablets this year. It's going to be interesting to see now we have a proper, fully-fledged tablet version of Android that's not just sort of hacked together, see where things go with that. On the other hand, I think it's going to be interesting to see what manufacturers do with ICS, how they bring in elements of the very careful design that Google's done on what's in the Galaxy Nexus, and how they translate that into Sense and into TouchWiz. So yeah, it's going to be kind of a continuation of what we've seen towards the back half of this year. And I think another thing is going to be the size of handsets. So we've seen a lot of gigantic phones this year. I think there's only so much bigger that you can get in terms of just the size of these things. Mm. I think that limit's going to be 4.7, because if it's any bigger, you just can't use it with one hand. I think it's going to be 4.7, and the resolution is going to pretty much stay at 720p, because on a 4.7-inch device, you don't need any more pixels. So that's my prediction for the way phones are actually going to turn out.
Corey?
I'm not good with predictions, but I can tell you what I want them to do. For 2012, I would like them to focus on quality instead of quantity. I don't want to see HTC put out a new phone every time they have a point release in Sense. There were just too many devices in 2011. The hardware on a lot of those devices, take the Thunderbolt, for example, the Evo 3D was just not up to par. And it gives Android a bad name, because people buy these phones and they think Android. They don't necessarily think about, you know, this is an HTC device. They think Android, and that's what they're buying. They're moving from the iPhone to Android, and they want to try the new operating system. And it leaves a bad taste in their mouth if they start having all these GPS issues or peeling kickstands or whatever the issues are with these phones. I'd like to see them build some more solid phones and just focus on, you know, maybe releasing two new operating systems or two new skins a year on each of these devices and make them really well. And, you know, I saw a lot of people last year. It's like, what was the difference between the Evo 3D and then the Sensation, I think? it was within a month of each other, and you got a newer version of Sense than, you know, with that device than if you'd, you know, waited another month and gotten the next one.
I don't know. I got to say, with HTC, they've done a – I mean, it's taken them a while, but they've got their older devices on the Sense 3 now. So it's – yeah, they're starting to do a decent job with that. But I see what you mean when you buy a device in the middle of the year, it's got Sense 3. 4 months later, you've got Sense 3.5, and you're left feeling like you've got an old device.
Well, and they're each time they're just bumping up the spec a little bit more. Okay, the memory, the gigahertz, you know, whatever that is, the number of cores. It's like these little minor bumps, and they make you want to keep coming back for more. Us geeks, that is, you know. Mm. And
I think
it's this marketing game everyone's playing, and I think they need to stop that and just focus on putting out really quality devices.
It's the carriers as much as the manufacturers in that sense, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is, and that's something that I think is really easy for people to forget, and I have to remind them every time they say something like HTC needs to slow down, Motorola needs to slow down. They're not making these phones in a vacuum, right? They are selling them to the carriers. You know, Verizon is the one that's saying, we want to put out an Android phone every week. Some weeks we're going to put out two. You know, that's not HTC's place to be like, hey, you know, maybe you should slow down. HTC's job is to make money into cell phones, and that's what they're going to do. And anyone who blames them doesn't understand business in the least. That said, is it good for a platform? No, it's not. I've actually enjoyed kind of watching Android become sort of the economical phone, become the commodity, right? And I know Apple try to make fun of it for that, but it makes sense, right? It is the perfect OS to become that commoditized feature phone type OS. You can do whatever you want with it. Look at something like actually just tonight, you know, Sirius announced a new radio that, oh, lo and behold, runs Android, right? You would know it looking at it, but the framework that it uses is Android, and it's using that for a reason. And there's a reason why Amazon and Barnes & Noble went with Android. It's not because they necessarily want to say, hey, this runs Android. You can run Android app. I mean, it can, and they do, and that's awesome. But they needed something they can work with. And that's what Google wanted to create. And, you know, I think they've done a hell of a job of it. And just because people don't necessarily understand it, you know, they're not engineers. I'm not an engineer. I don't think I understand every tiny working of why they did it. But, you know, from the, you know, 10-mile view instead of the 10-inch view, it makes sense. I think they've done a hell of a job doing it. Jerry, where do you think we're coming out of 2011 and going into 2012?
I think Google and Richard Branson are going to get together and put Android on the moon, maybe. I mean, I don't I think we're going to see a big focus on non-smartphone stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I really think set-top boxes are coming. Tablets, I think that's going to be a big push. That's, you know, Android isn't slowing down so much in, you know, the smartphone world, but the market's getting a little saturated. So they have to expand if they want to keep that same kind of growth. And of course, they want to keep that same kind of growth. So we saw a lot of stuff at at Google I.O. last year that didn't make it this year. Android at home, peripherals, like you said, there's a radio that runs Android. We saw prototypes of microwaves and refrigerators that run Android.
Yep.
I think we're going to see a lot more of that stuff next year, besides the 10 phones a month.
Something none of us have mentioned. Did we go through everybody? We did. Something nobody has mentioned for 2012. Motorola. Google bought Motorola, and that's still lurking. And they say they're going to run it like a separate company, and I have to believe them at face value when they say that. But that's a big question mark over, you know, a lot of people right now.
They're in line for the next Nexus.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so. I think because Google bought them puts them out of the running for the next Nexus. How pissed off is HTC and Samsung going to be if Motorola gets a contract for a Nexus? Not saying that it wouldn't all be above board and done, you know, whoever made the best bid, it would all be fine. But it's still going to appear that, a little bit of favoritism. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Here's my wacky prediction. I think the Nexus line is going to stay with Samsung for the foreseeable future, whether that's a tablet or whether that's a phone. I think HTC is happy doing what they're doing with a bunch of other platforms and with Android. And I think, yeah, Motorola is probably out of the running because it's going to seem like favoritism. So it's going to be left with Samsung.
Could be.
That's just my gut feeling.
Not that we don't want to see a Motorola Nexus or an LG Nexus or even a Huawei Nexus.
I would love to see everybody Nexus. Another one.
I think that's a good good look going into it. I'm excited. I think we got some really good stuff coming.
Jelly Bean. Don't forget Jelly Bean.
Don't forget Jelly Bean, if that's in fact what Jelly it is. It's kind of the obvious name. I assume they're looking for something else, Jujubes or something. I don't know. I got a couple of voicemails I want to get us into. I've had too many laying around. Sorry we took so many weeks off. So some of them aren't quite as relevant as they might have been. But let's dive through them real quick. And I'm sorry I didn't even write down the name. So, Renee, if we just want to go with the first one.
Hey guys, this is Sean Bates from Kansas City. My question for you is, I've heard some people say that the Verizon Nexus isn't a true Nexus, and that's great and all. I still like to think it is. My question is, you know, how Google released the Nexus One. You bought it through Google on their website, and all you had to do was pop in an AT&T or T-Mobile SIM card, and it works. Why could Google not release a Nexus that has a CDMA radio in it? Would that be possible? Or did they go with the Verizon exclusive thing because Verizon paid money to get it? So my question is it possible to have someone like Google sell a CDMA phone that you could just easily activate on Verizon? Thanks, you guys. Love the show. Listen to it every week.
Ignore the part where you're asking about Google releasing a CDMA phone because they've done two now, right? The Nexus S4G and the Galaxy Nexus. The bigger question is, can Google sell one that you don't have to go through Verizon to activate? And the answer to that is no. You just can't. Sasha Sagan at PC Mag did a really good post on that, not on why you can't. When you have any sort of phone that goes through CDMA carrier, the carrier will have to be involved. Whereas with the GSM phone, all that, and Mickey, correct me if I'm wrong here, all the provisioning, all that information is stored on the SIM card. You pop in the SIM, you're good to go. CDMA phones, you know, you have to go through them to activate and provision the phone because otherwise it's a brick.
Yeah, and they essentially have a database of all the electronic serial numbers of the devices that they want to have activated on their network. And what you'll find is that the tier one carriers, so Verizon and Sprint, will be very strict on what they will allow on the networks. There are some of the regional and smaller carriers that will let you do that. I know Cricket is notorious for allowing other devices from like a Verizon phone to be activated on their network. But the tier one carriers just aren't going to do it. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They need to, you need to have the carrier intervention there.
It is a Nexus. Mm-hmm. You pick it up, you go into the settings, all those developer options are there. The second day I had it, I unlocked the bootloader in about 5 minutes. I rooted it in 20. I'm already hacking the phone to do things that I want it to do. It is a Nexus. All the activation problem, the radio issues where it's CDMA and you can't necessarily just pop a SIM card in there and have it work on any network, that's separate. The phone itself is still a Nexus.
But, the original Nexus idea died the moment they put a Nexus One on Vodafone locked. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when the original, what we all want a Nexus to be, it died years ago.
Yeah, and they tried to update it over the air with a load of bloatware, and that didn't work out too well for them either.
Yeah. No. As far as the Verizon Galaxy Nexus or Samsung Galaxy Nexus Verizon Edition, whatever you want to call it, you can download the code, type in a few commands, build the code just like the GSM one. It's, people can argue and fuss and fight all they want. Well, it's CDMA, can't be a Nexus. It uses the same software.
It's a miracle that I think it's unprecedented for Verizon put out a phone like this.
It is. And Jean-Baptiste Carew, when he announced that it was going to be there, he even made mention that this is the first Verizon phone, the first CDMA phone, and the Zoom as well, the first non-Nexus device that was included. And he made specific mention that the Zoom was the non-Nexus device, not the Verizon Galaxy Nexus.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people that are in Mountain View say it's a Nexus. I don't think we should be arguing with them too much.
They kind of know what they're talking about.
Now, it might be their last one ever. it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, because this is definitely new territory for Verizon. Their reasons for not allowing these kind of devices on their network before are financial. You know, they want the bloatware on there. They want to make money off these apps. And this is really – this is not their culture. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
All right, next voicemail.
Hi, this is Shamper Scott. Love the Android podcast. I have a question. I just bought the Asus Transformer tablet on Black Friday, and I would like to know, will it get an update to Ice Cream Sandwich? Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably in very short order, too. Asus has been pretty good on that.
Very good about that. Next. That was easy.
Hey, Android Central. This is yet another Steve calling from Jersey. I got a question about the Kindle Fire. I understand it's got WhisperSync, and I know all the other Kindles have it, that where you can download books right to the device. They used to have Sprint. I think now they have AT&T 3G built into the device. Does the Kindle Fire let you stream movies directly from Amazon if you have the Prime service? You know, you're paying for Prime for $80 a year. Can you stream movies directly with the device without having to worry about 3G on a, you know, tethering or over Wi-Fi? Can you use the built-in data to actually stream stuff from Amazon, like with the MP3 and movies? Because if so, that is like a freaking killer deal. I really don't think it is, but if it is, then it's like even more of a hot product. If you can be, let us know on the podcast, I'd love it. Thanks.
I think you're kind of confusing WhisperSync with a 3G or, you know, or a mobile data enabled Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm. WhisperSync is actually what lets you sync where you are in the book, across multiple devices. In fact, I've been doing that this week. I've been reading a book on the Kindle Fire or on a tablet and hopping back and forth. And it gets really close, depending on how quickly you pick it up on the next device, exactly where you left off. So that's what WhisperSync is. Can you stream stuff? Sure, absolutely. It's got a browser. It's got, you know, it's got an interesting browser because they're cramming it through their servers first, to the detriment of some things. Otherwise it's a tablet that does stuff. It streams video just fine. The resolution isn't quite what I would like it to be, but sure. It streams music. I mean, that's part of it, right? It hooks into your Amazon cloud storage account and plays them just fine. It does not have mobile data. So if that's what you're asking, no, you do have to have a Wi-Fi connection to do it. Now you can do it with a hotspot, right? If you've got a MiFi or whatever, you can do it over that. Right? Am I right?
I do believe so.
Cool. Next.
Hey, guys. This is Sean Bates from Kansas City. I was one of the lucky three people that was able to score one of the Galaxy Nexuses from Verizon on Sunday from Best Buy. I've had a couple of days and I've been playing with it, and I was wondering if you guys knew of a way to change the LED notification light. I know with the original Nexus, there were some apps you could download in the App Store that did this. I downloaded one of them, and it doesn't seem to work for me. Do you know any other apps that might work, or do I need to get a root? Is there a way, if I root it, that we can change LED light? Let me know, guys. I love the show. Thanks a lot.
Is anybody using anything other than Lightflow? That's really the only one I'd heard of, but that doesn't mean it's the only one.
Lightflow.
Lightflow, yeah. Mm. Chat room, are you guys using anything new? Anything different?
He didn't mention the name of the... from what I understand, it works really well. The forums, that's what everyone in the forums recommends.
Yeah, everybody's using Lightflow. I tried it, and I tell you, I'm just old. I just can't worry about what color the notification light is anymore. I want to. I should.
Exactly.
I turn mine off.
As long as you can turn it off, I won't have to put a piece of black tape over it when I get one.
So I think we got one more.
Hello, my name is Jason Williams. Well, my question is this. I have a Palm Pre. I bought it the first day. I still have it. I take care of it like it's my own baby.
That's not it.
And,
stop.
Cease.
Wrong podcast.
Wrong podcast. try the fifth one. Do we not have any more?
That was number five.
That was number five? Well, hell. Yeah. We went through them quick. I mean, I guess we could try to answer the WebOS one. No? Okay. We'll let Renee edit that in post. Or not. We'll see. Leave it in. Whatever. It's the last one of 2011. Somebody should answer it. No, it's not going to be us. So that's it, boys and girls.
What's the right answer?
That's it. That is our final podcast of 2011. Next time you'll talk to us, it'll be 2012. Might be next week. Might not be till Vegas. 2 weeks, we'll be in Vegas for CES, and we'll be dead tired. And we'll probably have more than one podcast with a whole bunch of people. And I'm actually trying to set something up with a couple of the Android, other Android sites out there. Yes, they do exist. I know this, which I think would be a lot of fun because they're a bunch of great guys. And we all love each other when we're not yelling at each other, when we buy each other free beers later. So that's it. Jerry, Corey, Mickey, Alex, any last words?
Happy New Year's.
Yeah, there you go.
Rock on.
Chat room, thank you guys for putting up with us for another year. Everybody at home, thank you guys. We're going to be even more fun and cooler in 2012. Well, we're not going to be cooler, but I'm excited. I can't wait. It's going to be so much good stuff. So much more is coming. And so much more is coming from the site. Go play with the wallpaper gallery. We got more cool stuff coming. I can't even talk about it yet. And stay tuned tonight for Girls Gone Gadgets coming up right after us. And if you're listening to this at home later, go download it because they are awesome. They got a special guest tonight too, so check it out. That's it. We're done. See you in 2012.
Wait.
Yes?
Something I've been wanting to say for a whole year.
Oh, God, what?
Mickey, take us home.
Yes.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222 and make sure you let us know what show it's for so we don't play WebOS Nation voicemails on this show. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill and Corey is @CStreeter. This site and show brought to you by the Android Central Store. Follow us at store.androidcentral.com. You can place your orders as well by calling 888-468-6158.
Now we're done.
Can I give out my Google Plus number from now on?
Yeah.
What is it?
See?
I didn't think you'd say yes.
Yeah, we need a better way to do it. If you tell me what it is, I'll put it in the show notes.
1023073 56.
All right, boys and girls, we'll see you next week or the week after. We'll let you know. Thanks. Have a good New Year's, everybody. Be safe.
Stay wrong, guys.